you would, take your Bibles and turn back to the 13th chapter of the book of Romans. And we'll be looking this morning at the first 7 verses of Romans chapter 13. We kind of did the introduction to this particular chapter on Wednesday night. And notice, if you will, it says, let every servant or soul be subject to the higher powers. Of course, we talked about on Wednesday night how that these higher powers is our government. And we said that God ordained or authorized 3 different institutions. He authorized the government, the family, and of course the church that Jesus shed his blood and died for. Those 3 institutions are ordained of God. Now, I'm going to read through these verses. I'm sure many of you have already read them, but I'd like to read through it just a second, make a couple of points in regards to what Paul says about the federal government or our governments in chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Now, we said on Wednesday night that when it was talking about every soul, it was talking about any and everybody that lived under the federal government. For there is no power but of God, the powers that be are ordained of God. As we said a few moments ago, 3 institutions ordained of God. The government, the family, and the church that Jesus died for. Notice what he says in verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. What do you think that means when it says anybody that resisteth the power or the government is resisting God?
Well, because God ordained them. And
okay. Because God ordained it, God authorized it, therefore we are to the best of our ability to live under that particular government. Now notice how he goes on. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Now that kind of explains to us what God expects out of local governments that are ordained by him. Now, what does, or how does he refer to them? Good. He refers to them as good. But to the evil, wilt thou then be afraid of power? Do that which is good. So he's kind of laying it out here, and he's talking about what God expects out of his governments. They were ordained for good, just like the family was ordained for good. Just like the church was ordained for good. The government was ordained for good, and if you're willing to live in subjection to it, you shouldn't fear the government. The only people that are to fear the government is those that live how? Evil and against the law. Now notice, if you will, verse 4. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. Who is he talking about when he says he?
The government.
The government. The government is a what? The government is a minister of God to thee for good. It's quite interesting if you begin to pick up lexicon or a dictionary and you look up this word, minister of God. It's the same reference that we find used for our word deacon. So he's saying here that he is a minister of God to thee for good. And it's the exact same Greek word that we find used in the New Testament for the word deacon. Now, it's also the same word that you find used from time to time talking about the woman's role or the woman's work in the church. She's a deacon. Now, how do we determine in the three instances which one and what work is it talking about?
I mean, you've got... Go ahead.
I stood by the rest of the sentence.
Okay, by the context that you find it in.
But when you're talking about the qualifications of a deacon, could that be minister?
Does it mean what? Minister?
Could that mean minister also?
Yeah, it's a minister in the sense that they're a deacon in the church for a specific purpose. Yeah. And you determine from the context, is it talking about a deacon who serves in the church to carry out the work that goes along with the eldership and the preachers? Then when you're talking about women who serve in that capacity, it may be talking about the word deacon, but if you look at the context in which it said, there are certain limitations that fall on that category. For example, it says, in the public assembly, when people are assembled together, that a woman is not to speak or usurp the authority over the men. So you see how today when you have women teaching like I'm teaching in the presence of men and women in the body of Christ, they're not paying any attention to what the Bible teaches about biblical authority. When you see women waiting on the Lord's table just like men, they're not paying any attention to the authority of the Scriptures. When you see women preaching from the pulpit, and we've got that going on in the body of Christ, they're not paying any attention to what the authority of the Scriptures mean. However, that does not mean that the women do not have one of the most important roles in the body of Christ. Look what they do.
Oh, man.
Look how much teaching they can do. How much writing they can do. How they can teach younger women to be the kind of mothers that they need to be. How they can teach young children in Bible classes and do a far superior job than anything a man can do in that capacity.
Brother Steve, that book on Arkansas Angels you give me?
Yeah.
Some of those women pioneered, helped start some of them churches, you know
absolutely
what I mean?
Absolutely, they sure did. That's exactly right. And when you're talking about some of the most faithful in any congregations, you can point out, well, Brother Sister So-and-so, oh, how faithful she's been. And you can just go on and on. So notice, if you will, now, in Romans chapter 13, you're talking about the government that is authorized by God, just like the church is authorized by God, and the family is authorized by God. And when God authorized the government, it was for the good of the people to help protect the people. Now stop, if you will, And think about what it would be like with absolutely no government. It would be anarchy. Some of us are old enough to remember the riots and the burnings out in California, and how block after block after block were just set on fire. The law enforcement was doing nothing about it. One would think that could never happen again. But look what's been going on in the United States the last 2 or 3 years. Because our government has become so lax that they close their eyes. I was looking at TV last week, and they're literally going in people's homes that they know are wealthy, and they're robbing those people in broad daylight, bursting out the windows, going into their businesses that people have worked hard all their lives to establish. Oh, they're shooting people down in the streets, on train cars, in their own homes. That's not the type of government that we're talking about here when he says that it's supposed to be a minister of God to protect the people who are living godly lives. Any comments before we go on? Yes. That's a very good question. How does it apply today? It applies in the same way. When God ordains the family, and He expects the family to live together after the ordinances of God, and He expects the family to raise godly children and parents or to live godly Christian lives, and guess what happens many times? They fail. And God is not pleased with the way those families are living or conducting their lives. The same with the church. We talked about people, elders and deacons in the body of Christ. It's a God-ordained institution. And they will preach and teach anything that will put somebody in a pew. They don't care what the Bible teaches. They teach what they want to teach to help bring a large group together and have the largest contribution they can get in their hands. So it applies on the same principle today. It's up to us to send people to Washington to elect people locally that we think will be godly people and will serve the government for good. Now, we can misjudge them sometimes. And we can send people that wind up, as we would say, if you want to make a crook out of them, send them to Washington. Right. Because they're under the influence of a lot of pressure. Yes, I know.
Brother Steve, I agree totally with what you're saying. But it all started back when the families had so much want that the wife had to go to work to help pay for the wants, and they let the kids more or less raise themselves without biblical instruction. And that's what's got us in the place where we are now. It started in the home.
That's true. And Jerry and I were talking after services Wednesday night. And he said, I was thinking as we were going through this section of Romans that this has been going on since the dawn of time. And it has. You know, we could go back further than what you're talking about, that people have not been living like God wanted them to live. Now, we've looked at the first section as to what God expects out of His governments and how that He ordained those governments to be able to protect the people, take care of the people. And the people that were trying to live godly lives didn't need to fear their government. The people that needed to fear the government was who? The lawbreakers. The people that was breaking the law. I was listening to a news article last week, and one of the policemen were talking about, he says, we can arrest someone today, and before we get the paperwork filled out, they're already going out the jailhouse door and they're right back out into the streets doing what they were doing before we arrested them. Said it makes our work very difficult. So you see, the laws of our land is letting us down. They're failing us. And it's not pleasing to God, and it should not be pleasing to us. We ought to really be thinking about who we should send locally and governmentally to our headquarters. Now notice, if you will, notice how it changes. Verse 4, he's a minister of God. Same word as we use as deacons in the body of Christ. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he's a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Notice this word. Minister is brought up again. I want to continue to read. Wherefore, in verse 5, you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Now look at verse 6. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Now here's the same word in the English again. But if you are laying a dictionary or a concordance out and you're doing a study on the word itself in the original language, you're going to notice that it's a different Greek word in verse 4 than it is in verse 6. Though it's in the English seems to be the same word. They are God's ministers. But if you look at the definition of that particular word, minister, it's talking about a military servant. So notice, if you will, if you look at the context in that verse, you can kind of say, see here. Now look, it's authorized from God. It's authorized God to do good, not evil. And the people that should be afraid is the lawbreakers, not the ones that are living according to law. He's a minister of God, a deacon for God. For good. Then he drops it down a little bit more and he really specifies the word, and also notice what he connects with it. What does it say here? He connects with it. Pay ye what?
Tribute.
Tribute. What does that mean? Pay your taxes. Now, this is what upset the Jews more than anything else in the Bible. They hated the Roman soldiers. They hated the Roman tax collectors. Remember how many times they raised the question to Jesus? They did it in Matthew 22. They did it in Mark chapter 12. They did it in Luke chapter 20. When they questioned him, trying to trick him about paying taxes to Caesar. And remember what Jesus did? He held up the penny. He said, "Whose inscription is on this coin?" And they said, "Caesar." He says, "Well, you pay unto Caesar, Caesar's due." Why are we to pay this tribute? Because they are a servant of God. And they've got to provide men who wear the sword, who protect the innocent people of the land. Yes.
I think I know your answer, but I want you to explain it for me, please. You've already said these are servants of God.
Yeah.
But then when it comes to the point that they're not at all servants of God, I mean, they don't, like we have going on now, letting all kind of evil and everything happen, paying for abortions and all of this kind of stuff, are we supposed to go ahead and support that government that does that?
What did Jesus say?
Well, he didn't say support it.
What did Jesus say?
Well, that's why I'm asking you, because I kind of, to me, kind of is a conflict of what it's saying.
To me, that's like supporting
Not
Satan.
Really. Huh? Not.
To me, it's like supporting Satan if they want you to say it's okay, or they want you to support abortions or, you know, other things that's going on today. That's like...
When?
I think when you pay...
When it gets to the point that the laws of the local government over succeed the laws of God, then you've got to obey God instead of man.
Okay,
But now wait just a minute now. We send people to Washington to set up their laws, and if they're not what they're supposed to do, we made the point Wednesday night. We live in the best country in the world. And as bad as our local government is, every 2 years we can have an election and we can clean out the House of Representatives, and we can clean out the Senate. Every 4 years, I don't care how bad our president is, we can send him to the House.
We can't.
We can. If we...
We can.
We can. That's the way God ordained it to be. And we've got the ability to do that.
Now, I agree with that, but I'm just saying that the person in there is not something I sent in there.
No!
So I'm just saying that I don't support him. I mean,
you cannot support their evil deeds.
Right.
But you've got to... You know, it used to be the case when the President of the United States walked into the room, what did everybody do? They stood up, they recognized him, they respected him. And when we get to the point that we can't do that anymore, and we're there.
You got to respect the office, not necessarily me.
Right.
Got to respect the office, whether you respect the man or not. Absolutely. Yes.
You know, you talk about paying taxes. If we don't pay the taxes, we go back to what you said earlier. We go into anarchy.
That's right.
So which is worse?
Which is worse?
You're against, if you don't do what God has ordained,
absolutely,
you go into anarchy, you've gone against God anyway. So.
And you know, he said it was for good. I remember as a kid, a teenager, and the government passed a program, and you know, you could get a block of cheese, and you talk about good, it was some good cheese.
No, it wasn't.
And you could get some powdered milk.
No, it wasn't.
And you could get some And we should expect to have to pay for that through our taxes.
It was sustained, but it was not good.
Now fast forward it. And you no longer just get a few pieces of commodities. You can take your little card into the grocery store, and if you're not careful, you can get any kind of food, cigarettes, or liquor that you want to drink with that card. Is that what they want?
You can't get cigarettes and liquor.
If the right person, they may get sent to prison, but they'll sell it to them. I remember years ago I ran a wholesale route when the food stamps first came out. And this little lady had her a store, and she had a post office on the other side. And I was selling Happy Hal toys. And that big old rack of them toys, and every week she'd call me and said, bring me another rack. I thought, what in the world? And they cleaned them up. She was selling them toys with the food stamps. And somebody said, ma'am, they're going to send you to jail. They're going to lock your doors. She said, if they'll leave me long enough, they can lock my doors. And sure enough, they caught her. And they locked her doors. So you can do disrespect. But, I mean, the tribute we pay is based on the type number of programs that we want instituted in Washington and who we send them to do. And so again, you got a choice. I would much rather live under the government that we live under than those poor people that are living under Putin. Those people, Germans who live in Nazi Germany. Those people that David and others went to fight when Saddam Hussein was punishing the poor. So we can complain all we want, but we're still living in the best place in the United States. Is our government corrupt? Oh, yeah, I wonder sometimes if it's not from the top to the bottom, to the head to the toe. It's a shame who we put in our offices. And it's a shame. It's what's happened. I'd like to have me some more $2 gas. I don't know about y'all. And I'd like to eat me a T-bone steak every once in a while. And I've had to back off of them because I'm having to eat more chicken and more hamburger. And so, but at least we're not like those poor people in the Ukraine that are having their homes blown off the map by a madman. They're not having to leave their country. I made mention of a friend of ours who supported Gay and I when we first started preaching. His daughter's over there in Poland taking care of 10 or 15 families in her house. So we can complain all we want. We've got the power to change what we don't like about our government. Yes.
Let me say one more thing. Mike and I pay our taxes. We pay what's due. I don't want anybody to think that we don't. But I can't quite understand how we are supposed to go along. I feel like my vote was not counted. So I don't feel like we have a vote right now anymore. At what point, I guess I'm wondering, at what point do we say, look, we're not doing this anymore. We're not going to pay for these gays and lesbians to have this, that, and the other. And we're not going to pay for abortions and to feed everybody that wants to sit back and not work. That's wrong. I mean, all of that, I think everybody would agree, all that's wrong.
That and is what, the exact same thing these Jews were upset over right here in chapter 13. How long? How long? How long?
for is to tell us that God is in control when we feel out of out of control, that He
is a best point we've made the whole lesson. We need to remember, as bad as it is, who's still on the throne. God is still on His throne. He's still ruling in the affairs of men, though we may not understand and we may not feel like I'm being treated fairly. How do you think those faithful Babylonians felt those faithful Israelites felt when those Babylonian soldiers came in, surrounded Jerusalem, put them in chains, and carried them into captivity for 70 years? Think they felt like they were mistreated? Yeah.
Well, Jefferson.
Yeah.
Jefferson said when the government becomes tyrants, that it's your duty to answer, but it's your duty to revolt.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a political answer, but I mean, that's what...
You know, it's amazing. I love to read history anyway. And it's really interesting to read about those early forefathers who designed our government, who fought for our freedom. And you read about Washington and Jefferson and Adams and others, how they disagreed on how they were to come to a conclusion on how this country was to be run. But what a marvelous thing they did to set it up the way they set it up. And what a blessing it is for us to be beneficiaries of their knowledge and their wisdom in protecting our freedom when sometimes we feel like our freedom is not protected.
I know God is in control. I realize. But God gave us a brain, just like trying to obey everything else He said. There is a point where we have to do, I don't know how to say what I'm trying to say, but anyway, I put the wrong impression out there, I'm sorry.
We can't bow down and, you know, praise the evil government. We can't do it. That's why they were killed back in, you know, Jesus' day, because they wouldn't. That's kind of like what they're trying to make us do right now, and I just won't do it. I mean, I think God said that we don't have to obey man when it goes past the point, you know, and that's where I'm at.
We have to think about God's mind in organizing government, and as the gentleman said, if we didn't have it, we would have complete anarchy. That's the good of our government. That's the good of any government, that the government protects the people. Now, when we live in an ungodly, immoral society, Satan can take control of people who organize our governments. But yet, in spite of the abuses that people are doing with our governments, some way, somehow, we've got to continue to have faith and trust in God that good can come from a bad situation. Now, how He's going to do it, we don't know, because He's the one sitting on His throne. But you just look back through history. When things like that happen, look, if you will, about Peter being thrown in prison by the government and by the Jews. The jailer and his household was what?
Converted.
Even Paul, look how he was abused by his own people, the Jews. Though he was a Roman citizen, it was a Roman governor, Nero, that took his head off of his shoulders. It was he who wrote this letter some 10 to 12 years before the destruction of Jerusalem took place and before his head was severed from his shoulders and Peter's life was taken as well by the same guy. But yet, look what he wrote. And look, in spite, he spent 2 years in a Caesarean prison, made a boat trip to Rome, spent 2 years in a Roman cell. Look at the books he wrote, inspired books, while he was in prison those 4 years. Look, if you will, what he said to the Philippians in the book of Philippians. He told them that the gospel reached the very home of Caesar. So you see, Rome thought they was in control. And in the eyes of the people, they probably felt just like we feel. That our views are not being answered, they're not being addressed, but there's got to be some good that's going to come from it.
You know, we do have some in the government that are trying to address it.
That's right. We cannot accuse everybody of being thieves and robbers because there are some that, yes, David.
See, Paul didn't listen to the government. That's why he was in prison. Peter didn't listen. If they would have bowed down to the government, they wouldn't have been in prison.
That's right.
That's what I'm talking about.
And that's when you're getting back to that. There's the law of God,
right,
and there's the law of a crooked government.
That's what I mean.
Brother Steve, can I say something? I was going to keep my mouth shut. But y'all just keep dancing around it. As long as you vote to send people to Washington that stands against homosexuality and same-sex marriage and all that kind of stuff and abortion, then you can live in peace because you've done the right thing. I think you can live in peace as long as you do that, you know. I mean...
But what if you vote the other way?
Well, I mean, I ain't going down that path.
No, I'm just saying.
But you shouldn't as a Christian. I mean, that's just...
I'm just saying, what if you vote the other way?
The guy on the throne, David, is going to be my judge and your judge and everybody else's judge.
That's right.
And we need to leave that up to him.
Amen.